welcome to another post-game overreaction here on the Corn Nation Radio Network. My name is Greg Mahochko. I am one third of the tripod of the Five Heart Podcast with John Dam Johnston and Hoss Reuter. John Dam Johnston is here. Of course, he is the creator of Corn Nation. He is our father. May he not go to heaven for some time. But Hoss is out. We have Paul Dalen and Evan, also all from Corn Nation here. We're going to talk about what we just watched, and that was Nebraska's come-from-behind victory on the road. Scott Frost's first road victory, 42-38 in Champaign, the 900th win in program history. I don't even know where to start. That was at times bowling shoe ugly and at times picture perfect. John, let's start with you since you're the grand poobah. And, you were the one who said, you know, I'm going to check out of Slack for a while because everybody's being so damn negative in that first half. They turned it around, boy.
Listen, our game threads get negative when we're not doing well. And we were down, 21 to 7. And I expect that kind of from our game threads. But when I go into our Slack room and you guys start getting negative, it just makes me insane. It really does, because I didn't think that we were going to lose this game. I didn't. All the way through it, I never thought we were going to lose this game. But I never thought we were going to lose to Colorado either until we did. But this game, we have way more playmakers than they do. We have way more offensive explosion than they do. We have a good defense. I think we saw a good defense. We saw a defense tonight that got put in really shitty situations, and they didn't fold, and they played well, and they finally won the game for this team. There you go.
Paul, you have I like how you put it. You know, there. I think it was Zach who said, "Why did I have to be born in Nebraska?" Here in the Slack chat room, and you said, "Try being born in Iowa and choosing Nebraska." So you kind of like myself signed up for this type of punishment, and it's nice to stick through to the end and see how it all ended up. You know, it's. Like I said, not pretty, but getting that W and starting conference play where you need to.
There was a time, actually, there was a good amount of the time, probably until the middle of the fourth quarter, that I was really seriously worried about losing this. But by the time we rolled into the fourth quarter, and it felt like if we could just hold on to the damn football, we were chewing up yards at 10, 15 yards a pop on every play. And I just felt like, okay, there's no way for them to stop us. I mean, we can, it felt like Nebraska of old mowing down opponents in the fourth quarter. Now that analogy fails on a number of levels. And I understand that. And maybe we don't get into that, but yeah, I mean, I'm proud of my choices, but God, there was, you know, I just felt like, because we've seen this movie so many times over the last decade, where we outplay the opponent, but we can't not step on our own Johnsons, and not you.
Johnsons. What's that about?
No. You're Johnston. You're Johnston. Completely different.
Johnston.
That's close enough.
Nope. There's a T in there.
But we can't get out of our own way, and that didn't happen tonight.
Can I interrupt really quick?
Oh yeah.
Game day's coming to Lincoln, by the way. Oh. Just announced it.
Well, that's
really
get ready to shoot ourselves in the foot next week on a national stage.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about. Stop being so fucking negative.
Hey, I got
news. You don't know what we're gonna do next week. Next week is a different week. Every day this world rotates is a different day. And next week, this team might look at that team and go, hey, let's kick their ass. Believe.
We play very differently on the road versus at home. We finally played a bad enough opponent on the road that we were good. This is actually a really good Nebraska, not really good, but a good Nebraska team with tremendous talent on that just can't, previously hasn't been able to bring everything together. But we're more likely to get it together at home than we are on the road. So God knows what's going to happen next week, honestly. Every year, Ohio State seems to shit the bed at least once. Iowa, Purdue come to mind in the last couple of years. So it might as well just be Nebraska this year. I mean, Ohio State's got it in them.
Why not us, right?
They were black, or Purdue and Iowa wore black jerseys. Maybe we bring out the old alternates this year.
No. Maybe we just play football at home against Ohio State and see what happens. We're still talking about Illinois in the game tonight, not worrying about the future.
So let's talk about that. Paul, you brought up a good point. I mean, there were four turnovers and 120-something yards of penalties, but almost 700 yards of offense that really helped to compensate for all of those miscues. We struggled early because we don't have a kicker, you know, so we couldn't rely on trying to kick a long field goal on the first drive and it stalled out and turnover on downs. And you could say what you want. There were some missed calls on both sides. And we benefited from a couple of oddball calls throughout the way. I don't know. I don't want to blame the refs. I think they were consistent in that they were just playing bad. I don't know if that's an excuse or not, but the way this team rallied from about midway through the third quarter and on, you know, when coming out of the halftime break and Kevin Kugler and Matt Millen are saying, oh, you know, this team has struggled, you know, historically under Scott Frost, or at least, you know, this season they've struggled in the third quarter. And that's when, you know, after that first drive stalled out, maybe that was, I don't think that was the turnover. I think it just stalled out. After they didn't go anywhere and then Illinois goes down and scores, they got their shit together. And yeah, there were still a few miscues and a few penalties, but that offense started doing what it was built to do. You had, I mean, even without Mo Washington, who we don't really know his status or you know what to expect or when to expect him back, Martinez started trusting himself, and maybe Scott Frost started trusting Martinez a little bit more. Wandale Robinson put on the game that he needed to put on, and you had serviceable outings from Dedrick Mills. You had some circus catches. You know, there was the catch from Jack Stoll. You had the complete air ball by Noah. That was earlier in the game, but you have the playmakers stepped up and did what they needed to do.
It was the Wandale Robinson show.
But it wasn't just the
one. It really was. And when you look at this offense, you realize that now we have Maurice Washington as a playmaker. Dedrick Mills has stepped up to play. J.D. Spielman still going over the middle and making those tough catches, even though it was clear that Martinez tried to kill him by throwing the ball high at least twice so the defensive backs could take aim at his ribs and his kidneys.
But
you saw Wandale Robinson basically almost take over a game.
I tell you what, it's not the flashiest, or it's not even a play that ended in points, but I think my favorite play that Robinson had was late in the game, and he just ran off tackle and put the shoulder down. I mean, they were talking about his measurables. What is he, 5'9" and 195 or something like that? And he just put the shoulder down and leveled the linebacker, and that's – That's the kind of shit we need to see over the next, couple of years. I don't know, if he keeps playing like this, we're not going to have him for 4 years. That was impressive. That might be my favorite play of the night, honestly. Now I'm talking to myself. Hot dog. Where the hell did everybody else
go? Nope, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, sorry. I was on mute. I like talking to myself because that's what happens. So, I'm going to take a little bit of umbrage at saying that this was strictly the Wandale Robinson show.
Thank you, Martinez.
Other than the one fumble, Martinez played beautifully tonight.
400.
It didn't look that way, but he. Let me. I'm just trying to zero in on his stat lines here.
Well, I've got it here. 445 total yards for Martinez.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Three touchdowns, one fumble, no interceptions. I don't know what more you can ask in a crazy, bizarre game where the rest of the team can't hold on, and there's this pressure to perform on the road, and we've lost all the. Nothing was normal about this game. It should have sent red flags off in everyone's head that, you know what, this is going to be harder than we thought. But in the end, Nebraska is much, much better of a football team than Illinois was, and that was ultimately made the difference, I think.
If you take away...
Okay,
go ahead, Evan.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I insist.
Oh, no, okay. Let John go. So, I think John should go.
Shut up.
Evan, if there was one game in which you could complain about the referees, this is it.
Yeah. Well, I can complain about them every week, but you disagree with me. But anyway, back to about the offense. So, I mean, we all agree that... Are you guys still there?
Oh, yeah.
We're here.
Just talk.
Okay. So we all agree that we shot ourselves in the foot so many times in this game. And Paul kind of hit the nail on the head when he said we're a much better team than Illinois. But if Illinois turns the ball over four times, do you guys think that they have any shot at coming back in a game? Even if they're playing, I don't
God,
know
no.
who they beat earlier in the year.
No. If it was four turnovers to zero – on Illinois' side, we win 75-0.
Yeah.
I mean, if it had been zero turnovers on either side, we still win by 40, I think.
Yeah, and the game day call gets made at halftime, not at the end of the game.
We put up 690 yards.
Well, yeah, damn, well, I said almost
tell me this.
700, damn. Why you got to be like that, John?
What?
I said we put up almost 700 yards. Why you got to be like that? Why you got to crush me in the nuts with your specificity?
because Paul's a stat guy.
So tell me this. Was there 1,000 total yards in the game? How many yards did Illinois have?
299.
So just shy of 1,000. Based on that math.
Wow.
But the offensively, I mean, most of theirs obviously came on the run. I mean, they weren't doing anything in the air.
No.
I mean, just, and we weren't, I don't feel like, you know, we were getting enough pressure on Peters. He was just making lousy throws, or I think his line read like 9 of 22, but had 7 drops by his receivers or something. I mean, that's, whew.
That's a bucket of shit. They had 78 passing yards.
I'll take that action.
Yeah. And they had, what else? They had 1 for 11 on third downs. Do you remember last year when we couldn't get off the field on third down?
I do remember that, and I was...
It felt like we couldn't get off the field tonight, so...
That's because you know, when we walk out against Illinois, we want to beat them by 35 points because we see them as a bad team. And we didn't beat them by 30 points. The good news is that we played like shit. We had gobs of mistakes, and we still put up massive amounts of yardage, and we still won. So if you're going into this game next week against Ohio State and you want to feel bad about yourself, you know, I guess go ahead and feel bad about yourself.
I will say that it seemed like, I mean, it not seemed like, it was, you know, Illinois dominated the first half and then the first 5 minutes of the second half. And after that, the fact that Nebraska was still within striking distance, you know, where even though Illinois was, you know, whatever the hell lead that they had at that point, they were still not comfortable, I think says a lot about Nebraska, because we saw some quick hit offense. We saw some big defensive stops. You look at the time of possession, it was 37:04 for Nebraska and 22:56 for Illinois. Honestly, I thought that Nebraska would have had the ball a lot more based on how that fourth quarter and the latter half of the third quarter went. I don't know. I feel like Nebraska was in control except for the turnovers.
Hey, I'm gonna guess that a time of possession imbalance that much, 15 minutes, is probably less than 5% of games. I could answer the question exactly tomorrow. I don't think it's a point, but the point is that it was time of possession normally doesn't mean much, but since it is much more difficult to score if you don't have the football, having the ball almost twice as much as Illinois did probably did make a difference in this game. And that is an extraordinary imbalance, by the way. I think you see that just once or a couple of times per year across the whole NCAA, that much of an imbalance.
I wouldn't even thought about how, you know, I mean, yeah, it's 15 minutes, but I look at it as, you know, Nebraska has it. I mean, this is the way my mind analyzed those numbers, is Nebraska had it 7 more minutes than, you know, a half a game. I don't know. I didn't think about 15 minutes. You're right. That makes a lot more sense. I'll shut up now. Carry on. John, Evan, you guys? Anything.
Can I ask you a quick question?
You can.
I may have missed it, but what was the time of possession disparity?
It was Nebraska had it for 37 minutes and 4 seconds. Illinois had the ball for 22 minutes and 56 seconds. So right around, you know, 14 minutes and change.
Okay.
A whole quarter. Okay. That's wow. A whole quarter. I mean, yeah. We did wear them down at the end. You could see that they were gassed.
Absolutely.
We could see that we were a little bit gassed, but not as bad as them.
I'm still trying to figure out why, you know, like Daniels and the Davis boys weren't out there in that first defensive possession of the second half, because that's when they went down right away and scored. That one didn't make any sense to me. I don't know if they were getting a stern talking to on the sideline or what. I mean, they came out and they busted ass after that, but I don't know what happened. Coming out of halftime, you should be ready to go.
I think that was just one of many on both sides strange decisions by the coaching staff. Illinois had even more of them than that. Sometimes their play calling made me really scratch my head. And Jill, in our Slack channel, hit the nail on the head when she's laughing. You know, Lovey, do we still have Corbin? His staff? Yes. Can we give? Should we give the ball to him? Yes, we should. Oh no, throw the ball 3 times. So this was one of those weird football games that it throughout the whole night there was like, what just happened? Why did that happen? And I don't quite know what to make of it. But that starting our second string defense the third quarter was definitely at the top of the list of weird stuff.
Because we're building a program.
I mean, I get
on
that.
What? On the second string? That doesn't make any sense, John.
Yes, it does. We're getting experience. We're getting experience. That's all I can say about it.
Okay, well, that's a pretty fucking stupid way to get experience. But let's go. I guess I can go with that for lack of any other reason. Okay.
Well, did anybody ask that question at the post-game press conference, whatever?
I don't think it's happened yet. And if we did, we wouldn't know because we've been talking to each other instead of actually listening to the coach.
I want to talk about first downs. Nebraska had 48 first down plays, averaging 6.7 yards per first down for 320 yards. Almost half of all of their offense came on first down tonight. I don't think I've ever seen that. Paul, you're the stats guy. That's unreal to me. Getting almost 7 yards on first down.
Paul decided to go off and get some more wine.
Oh, hey, I was on mute again because I've got a cold and I didn't want to wheeze on everybody. That's an extraordinary success rate. Successes on first down would be just, and if it's first and 10, would be 5 yards or more. So that would be 100% success rate on first down, and that's unheard of. Probably the best in college football for the year. I can go back and check, but we had no problem moving the football. The only problems Nebraska had tonight was holding on to the fucking football.
Yeah.
We were their best defender. And that is probably the storyline of this whole game.
And again, you know, the inability to get out of our own way. You can do that and win against a team like Illinois. You're not going to be able to do that against Ohio State. You're going to have to play clean football next week, as clean of a game as you played against Northern Illinois a week ago.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, yo.
Some guys in the Slack room are asking if there's a number to call him.
I am telling them. Oh, it's Keith. All right. Yeah. All right. I'll message
Jill,
him.
I think.
I'll message him. Jill knows and is trying to log on.
Greg.
Okay. I'm working on it, damn it. All right, anyway. Nebraska, 11 of 19 on third down. I love that Illinois, I mean, we talked about 1 of 11, but that's 9.1%. And both teams were honestly averaging a very similar, you know, third down and, you know, to go. And that's, you know, Nebraska was averaging third and 7.9, and Illinois was averaging 8 yards to go on third down. So, all right, bringing in. Oh, there you are. All right,
Jill. I have to go pass out now.
No, you stay, damn it. We're adding people.
Why?
Because we're adding people.
Because I'm going to complain, John, and you need to be here to confront me about that.
No, Evan, I just beat on you whenever you start talking.
All right, we've got the Ranch Babe. Oops, Jill was here and then she left. I don't know what happened. Keith is here. Keith Yapel. And Jill's back as well.
I am sorry. I took so long. I lost my password.
Oh, that's
Jill.
Okay.
Jill, can I go pass out now?
Say no, Jill.
No.
John, you're way more fun when you're like this.
You son of a bitches.
They made me do it. Sorry.
God damn it.
Hey, I'll tell you what. John, you can pass out at midnight, all right?
That's so far away.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, I've got to produce this and get it ready to publish while you're sleeping. So piss off, old man.
Hey, there's one here. There's one other statistic that just jumps out at me, and I don't think I've seen this for a long time. Their average starting position, Illinois' average starting position, was on their own 39. Ours was on our own 22. That is a huge head start that we're giving them on every fucking drive. We're spotting them 15 yards on every drive, and we still won. We can't keep doing that.
Can we borrow
we'll call
punter?
It a win in quotations.
Oh, it was emphatically a win, Jill.
Yeah, it's a win. Come on, Jill.
But
it's a but
what, why didn't it feel like a win?
Because it felt like a win to me. Because
he didn't drink enough.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, Jill, I gotta hear this then. what would make it feel like a win? I mean, the stat column screams we won by 40.
Not turning over the ball, not letting them score 38 points. Things like that would feel a little more reassuring.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, but we gifted them 21.
I agree.
Good teams don't do that.
I mean, they scored on all four of their on all four of our turnovers, didn't they? Or was it just three?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that three of the four were just like very close to our own end zone.
Yeah, short fields. I got you.
And we're not a great team. I mean, we're not. I think, and this is something that I was telling my dad, because, you know, he gets irritated just like everybody else when there's, like, long runs when it looks like he could be stopped at the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage, maybe a two-yard run. And I just have to keep reminding myself and everybody else that we don't have the talent that Ohio State does. We don't have the talent that Alabama does. Because if we have that talent with this coaching staff, yeah, those would be no game. And we're not there yet.
You know,
and I wish we were. I wish it wasn't going to take 4 years, but we're not there.
Real quick, I mean, we've lamented about the turnovers, but you know, as far as the penalties go, you know, we had, I think, 11 penalties for 121 yards, or I mean, 129 yards, something like that. Illinois had Illinois was penalized four times on defense for 66 yards, none on offense. Which, I mean, take that with a grain of salt, I think. But yeah, I mean, it was. If we can get out of our way, I don't want to say the sky's the limit because, like what Evan said, there is, I think, still a talent disparity. I think the gap is closing between Nebraska and, like, the Ohio States. I think that gap is closing thanks to recruiting efforts by Scott Frost and company. But if we can get out of our way, we're going to be competing with those upper echelon teams, and we're not going to be, you know, sneaking away, squeaking out a victory on the road at Illinois by 4 points in a you know, the kind that makes me wish I could drink tonight.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah, let me go first on this because I always harp on the officials. So, John, listen hard here. So, I do not understand.
Listen hard?
Yep. I do not understand why it feels like every single game we get called for all of these penalties. But besides last week, because last week apparently the refs just decided to take a day off against us. But every week, especially with Big Ten refs, they decide, oh, well, we need to throw flags against Nebraska, but we're going to help out the other team. These refs tonight were so bad. You look, I mean, just take it for example, the two forward passes that were fumbles. Martinez, to me, looked like the ball was still in his hand right as he was moving it forward. That to me, is not indisputable evidence that you can overturn that call. But they do. And then the same exact thing happens to Illinois, and they call it indisputable evidence. We can overturn that. Now it's a forward pass.
Well,
how is there not a bias against Nebraska with, like you said, Greg, there were no flags thrown on Illinois' offense.
All right, so I'm going to step in here real quick because in the replays, and I was pretty damn hot about this. I was less hot if they would have, you know, let the play. I would have been less hot if they would have let the play, you know, when Nebraska was on offense and you know, there was the forward arm motion. I'd have been less upset if they would have let the play finish out, even if it meant, you know, it looked like would have been a scoop and score. But the fact that they blew the whistle dead, or blew the play dead, and then, you know, before Nebraska is able to get another snap off, they, you know, someone rushes in to say, whoa, we gotta check this one. There might be some shenanigans afoot. I think, as much as it pains me to say, I think they got that call right. I think they got both calls right. I do think you go back and I'm not, you know,
I agree.
Listen, I've been kicked out of games because of yelling at the refs, because of chirping. Seriously, and it runs in my family because I was a kid when my dad got kicked out of my sister's basketball game for chirping at the refs. So it's hereditary. But Martinez is at the apex of his, I don't want to say backswing, that's golf, but, you know, of bringing the ball back, and the ball gets knocked loose and his arm comes free. It just so happens that he has enough.
Oh, okay.
I gotta jump in on that, Greg. The strongest evidence.
I have to get some more wine.
Yes, John's gonna drink more.
The strongest evidence that they got the call wrong and it should have been a forward pass isn't the sort of a kind of inconclusive best guess. Visually, it's looking at the ballistic trajectory of the football and asking yourself, it followed a trajectory that was 90% what it would have been if it had been a forward pass. And they're making the claim that they knocked it out of his hand into a trajectory that mirrored a forward pass. And that's not how it happens. The ball goes off to the side or it goes down. It doesn't go forward in an arc that way. It may have looked like it had come loose, but you have to look at what the football actually did after it left his hands. And to ignore that is to ignore the physics of what happened with the football. It didn't behave the way it would have to behave if it were a fumble.
Well, you're not allowed to bring physics into this, Paul. That's not right.
I wanna jump in on and add to what Paul said. So I believe that both of those plays, it was a forward pass. But my complaint comes with the refs. On when Illinois had the ball, it was the same thing. The ball was coming out of his hand as he was moving his arm forward. The ball wasn't hit out of his hands, but he got hit so hard that the ball was coming out of his hands. And the ball went in a forward motion, just like when Adrian threw it, and they, for whatever reason, decide, oh, well, we're not going to have the same theory that we did with Adrian. We're going to just make up our own rules and overturn stuff.
No, that's
fine. There was no consistency there.
It's weird. Yeah,
I don't know. I thought they got him right, too. Honestly, sorry, guys. I thought Adrian's was just a split second sooner on the hit, and the Illinois quarterback was actually coming forward with the hand a little bit, but we can disagree to the end of time. It doesn't matter.
Let me ask you this. Did you think there was indisputable evidence to overturn that call?
Wait.
What?
There was no clear recovery, and that's the rule. If you have a
fumble, yeah, that's the part. Yeah.
There was no clear recovery. Because they blew that play dead,
yep,
and suddenly
yep,
they made magic.
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
That doesn't
That's
matter
part,
if
yeah.
they blow cool. the play dead.
It absolutely matters. You can't recover a football after you've blown the play dead.
And they blew the play dead. And then they suddenly made up this thing where it said, oh, well, they recovered at the 14-yard line. They didn't recover the ball at the 14-yard line. The play was already dead. That was the shittiest call that I've seen in football for a very long time. It was
that they I blew agree the with, play. Yes. Yes, that they blew the play they dead
because they thought it was a forward pass.
Well, then they shouldn't have blown the play dead. If they blow the play dead, it's a dead play. You can't recover. You know, you can't recover a ball when the play is dead.
I can agree with John, even though you asked me to let you pass out. For whatever reason, I'm agreeing with you. There was some inconsistency in the call. I'll definitely agree with that.
Well, can we then talk about the one that worked out in our favor, where they did reverse a call?
Was that the block down in the back?
What was that?
One was that. The block that in the never back? Happens.
Yeah.
The block in the back? Yeah. That was odd. I wasn't expecting that reversal at all.
Can I explain something? So I know it used to be. I don't know if it's still the rule. I don't know if they took it out. But it's supposed to be if you block a guy in the back within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage, that's not a block in the back.
That's still a rule.
Yeah, but apparently Stoll disengaged and re-engaged, and the re-engagement should have been the block in the back. But I didn't look at it closely enough, so I can't.
I think he was downfield, Devin. He wasn't within 2 yards. That was
other. I will find that play and show you, John.
You will find it. You and Liam and Neeson.
Evan has a particular set of skills.
That was within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Well, I mean, if we could sit here all day, we could talk about missed calls because there was the helmet-to-helmet on Spielman as well that did not get called at all.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. But then early in the game, Lamar Jackson was like, man, he looked like a senior and holding where the ref couldn't see it. Damn, he was good.
That was pretty.
He knew exactly what he could do. You have to give him props for that.
I think my difference with those penalties or non-calls is one of them is a pass interference. The other one is a safety issue. And if we're going to make a big deal about head trauma and CTE and player safety, that was clear as day. I mean, you could hear it. You could hear it on the broadcast, that smack of helmet to helmet.
And the ref was right there.
And the ref was right there.
Oh, yeah.
There, and
yeah.
There was
no, I
no
agree.
Fire.
Yeah. I mean, who is left?
Oh, wait. I have to get some more fireball.
John, do you really need permission?
I mean, if
but
his old ass
who is left on the Husker offense that isn't limping or bleeding or traumatized?
Martinez.
I mean, Frost has been trying to preserve his quarterback.
And Andrew Bunch.
I'm unconvinced.
Oh,
guys, I'm unconvinced that something isn't troubling Martinez as well. You know, something that he can, you know, that isn't readily obvious when he's just walking around in public or at school or something like that. I'm not sure what that might be. Maybe, you know, something with his hand or something. But he just doesn't seem to... He just doesn't seem to have the it, whatever it is, that he had last year.
Who didn't have it? Adrian?
It's either an offensive line problem, or there is something bothering him. Because we're four games into it now, and he's just not the same player he was last year.
He looked really good in that fourth quarter, though. I think... I don't know how to say
it
without...
If the coaches are handcuffing the offense to save him, they did it, but they injured everybody else.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that's just thing, and I don't know if they, you know, like I said, I don't know how to phrase this in a way that doesn't, you know, put blame on him, but it seemed like in the you know, fourth quarter and the second half of the third quarter, they kind of took the, you know, let go of the reins on him and let Martinez be Martinez, and let him be the competitor that we saw last year, and that's an encouraging sign. If they're if they're finally seeing that he's ready to, you know, make that, take that next step. I don't know.
Well, I think they were seeing that if they didn't do that, we were going to lose the football game.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they were down to Wandale and Martinez. I mean, they didn't have many options left at the end of that game.
But that's, yeah. not something that, you know, against Ohio State or against Wisconsin or against, hell, anybody on this schedule, you know, Iowa or even Maryland, Indiana, that's not, you can't wait till the fourth quarter to unleash your greatest weapon, you know? I mean, you can't, you know, I'm not the military guy, you know, but I understand a little bit of strategy. If you have, I don't want to be as crass as to say the nuclear option, but, you know, if you've got something that will go out and win the day for you, you don't wait until the fourth quarter.
Well,
no, wait, I need to get a beer.
Hey, the way Martinez can play and the way he runs just essentially as a running back, as an eye back, every time he does that, there is a risk that he takes that he doesn't take if he more or less just stays behind the line of scrimmage and throws the football. And I get it. There is nobody after Martinez. None of our quarterbacks are really ready to step in and do what we need them to do because we just don't have the offensive line that can protect. We can't. This isn't 1994 again.
We do have the offensive line.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. Look at that.
They've got this amazing strategy of playing football without blocking.
He stood in the pocket and stood there all freaking game.
That was when they were gassed.
He was never pressured.
That's not all freaking day, John. That was about the middle of the third quarter and the fourth quarter that he had like 10 seconds to throw the football.
But all season he's had that. The pass pro has been great.
Yeah. We do have the offensive line. We just don't have the offensive line that people look at and go, oh, it's Nebraska, and we should be able to smash the ball down people's throats up the middle like we did in the old days. Well, fuck the old days. They're gone.
Wow, and that's coming from the old man.
Yeah. This is a new day. The win same time.
I don't know if you watch any other football games, but running between the tackles is not that extraordinary of a thing to happen. It happens all the time, except at Nebraska. So our line maybe is, I'll give it, Jill, you're correct. The line is offering substantially sufficient pass protection, but that's about it. They're not opening any. All of our runs are outside the tackles, or at least 90% of them anyway. And I don't know. I just don't think that that's the way.
Okay, at the end of this game, Paul, what did we see Wandale Robinson do?
Well, again,
ran up the middle.
Fourth quarter is really the measure of the ability of our offensive line.
And we'd run 90 plays at that point.
Yeah. They were
against a defense that was supposed to give way after about 50 plays.
So
which
what
is
you're
about
really
where they
saying
began to give
is
way.
This. What you're really saying is this, is that our offense wore down their defense over time, just like they did in years past, and then they ran the ball at the end of the game to win.
Go get a beer, John.
Come on, you sons of bitches. Argue with me.
Did they legalize weed up there in the Great White North? Because I want some of what you're smoking if you're trying to say our offensive line is hearkening back to the good old days.
Here's my thing. I think that the runs outside the tackles even, it's more about the running back than our offensive line.
It's about the running backs when they're outside the tackles, certainly.
And they're figuring out how to read their guards, you know? They're still figuring this out. You know, if somebody twitches a little bit one direction, that's your read, and you don't know that those first few games. Okay, I'm making excuses. Sorry.
Oh, wait, I need to take a bong hit.
Oh, jeez. So, good news. Nebraska won. They're 3-1. That lone blemish being on the road to Colorado. But I'll tell you what, it feels a hell of a lot better to win this close game than it did to lose that close game. And I'll take that any day because, you know, while the stats were great, I always like that old cliche. The only stat that matters is the final score at the end of the game, and Nebraska had more than the other team. I don't know how the hell else we wrap it up for this episode. We've been rocking this conversation for about 45 minutes. Y'all, been
that's
great.
Good.
John, are you saying that you're ready to?
I have to fall down now.
I know. I have one last question. You have 8 minutes, John. So. A good way to wrap this up is asking about the end of the game. What do you guys think about the decision on 4th and 5 or 4th and goal at the 5 to kick a field goal?
Well, I would have liked there to not be false start on the offensive line, and I would have liked that first kick to mean something. I didn't like the fact that we had to move back, and then as I think Matt Millen, who I don't have a whole lot of time for him. He said the ooga booga.
I hate him.
Or whatever, you know. That I don't know whatever he said, but it trickled down onto the field, and then, you know, we kick it off the upright.
I thought it was a shitty call.
I thought it made sense.
I thought we should have went for it.
I think we should have done more to get in from the 1 yard line, so we didn't have to. I mean, what?
Exactly.
This
yeah.
Is, this
better,
is just
better
me being.
Play.
Okay, I have to go. My service dog is going insane. I love you guys. Goodbye.
Bye, John. Be good.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
If that wasn't a service dog, we wouldn't let him off the hook, FYI.
So, anyway, my thing is, we were in the situation. No matter if we got into the end zone, that we didn't get into the end zone on first, second, or third down. We didn't get in the end zone. It's 4th and 5. 4th and goal at the 5. What do you do, knowing the kicking problems that you've had?
Well, I'm confident in Armstrong or McCallum at a 22 or 27 yarder. That it just should have been made. And to put it up by a touchdown, I really think it was the common sense move. I'm okay if they go for it, but I'm okay with kicking it at that point.
So let me explain my thinking. So you go for it at the 5. Let's just say you get stopped at the 2. Then they take over on downs at the 2-yard line. If you miss the field goal, it goes all the way out to the 20. That was my thinking. And they have no timeouts.
No, I mean, I can't. Nebraska has struggled for too many. I mean, they got it done tonight, but they've struggled for a long time, it seems, as just being able to, you know, avoid giving up big plays. I mean, look at Illinois' first touchdown was just a 66-yard touchdown run by Reggie Corbin.
That point, the Illinois remembers, oh, yeah, we have a Reggie Corbin here, and Nebraska hasn't stopped him, and oh, yeah, let's put him out there. That was some of why they lost the game, is they did stupid stuff like, oh, let's pass the ball instead of give it to Reggie Corbin.
Yeah, it was not a well-thought-out game plan on their end. I mean, going back to you know, the heart of your question, Evan, I would have just liked to line up under center, which I know is almost blasphemous in this offense, and, you know, throw Dedrick Mills in the backfield. And if you don't get it on a QB sneak from Martinez on the first try, you just keep pushing up. That the heart of that defensive line for Illinois was gassed. And I think if you just go straight at him, you're going to get in there. You don't have to do anything fancy. They tried pulling a guard. I'm sure Haas will, you know, talk about on the next episode of the Five Heart Podcast. They tried pulling a guard, and that's when their lineman shot the gap and caught him for a big loss. If you just go right at him and, you know, put a shoulder pad on shoulder pad, I think you're going to get the push and you're going to get the touchdown. And that would have been my thing. You know, just if you're at the goal line. Don't do anything fancy.
I agree.
You've got them on their heels. Just push forward.
I agree.
I wouldn't have argued if they had gone for it either. I was okay with kicking the field goal. I probably would have been happier with going for it, but I understood the decision.
I think you,
my thing was Scott Frost preaches the no fear of failure, and I feel like that would have been a good place to enforce that mentality.
I think it came down to a couple of situations, one of which Jill just mentioned, is that a 22-yard field goal should not be something that you're worried about. Even a walk-on guy that was on the Lincoln Soccer Club 2 weeks ago, after a couple of days of practice, should be able to kick a 22-yarder. I mean, that's not much longer than an extra point, so you get plenty of chances to try them during the day. But the other is, we were up by four. That would put us up by seven. They still had to get a touchdown to either win or tie. It didn't seem to me, it didn't seem vitally important that we had to have the touchdown or the game was going to be over. If we did, obviously we would have gone for it. But I think the odds were better that we were going to get 3 points than seven, because we had just tried from closer in.
Can I make one observation real quick to what you just said, Paul, is if they would have made that field goal, I think Illinois would have had a better shot at going down, because every time we kicked away on a kickoff, they got...
That's just what I was going to say.
Yeah, they got
our kickoff coverage is horrific.
I mean, hey, look, I like Swiss cheese, but I like it on my sandwich. I don't like it on my you know, kickoff team. So,
That's a very good point.
I was just going to say that.
So
that was my other thing. That's why I said, you know, you get stuffed. Even if it's at the five, they have to start at their own five. But they had a better chance of getting great field position if we had to kick it off.
Could you imagine? And I don't want to, you know, spend too much time on this just because it would be depressing. And it's we're almost that time. It's almost midnight. It's almost Sunday, by God. But could you imagine if, you know, we would have kicked the field goal successfully, and then on the ensuing kickoff, they ran it down and scored. I mean, like on the return.
I was thinking that during the game.
Because I think Lovey, because he doesn't look. I don't think most prognosticators had them in the ball game. I mean, we opened up as what, 8 or 10 point favorites. So I think
14.
14.
Sorry, fact check, Jill, coming through again. No. But I think at that point they were in the happy to be there, nothing to lose mentality. I think they go for two, and I agree. I don't like those odds. So yeah, I mean, I'm glad we missed it. I would have liked the touchdown. I kind of agree with Evan that maybe we should have gone for it on on fourth down from the five or wherever that was. We got another, you know, we can talk about this game all the way up until Wednesday, John says, and then we got to turn the page and talk about Ohio State. Any final thoughts on tonight's win, 42-38 over Illinois? Evan?
It was an ugly game, but I'm glad we got the dub. I think that there's a lot that we can fix, and I'm glad that it was shown tonight, so that hopefully this next week when we come out at home after College Game Day, we'll look a little bit cleaner.
Paul.
I'm here. Sorry.
That mute button's getting you in trouble, sir.
Yeah, actually, it was covering up a cough.
Oh,
I think that turnovers are the great equalizer. That they can, if a good team can't hold on to the football and continues to give away their chances to score to their opponent who's manifestly inferior can hang around way too long. So yeah, hold on to the fucking football.
And Jill.
Yeah, as crazy as it seems, we were worse last season, but we had a different vibe going into the game where you felt like we could play with Ohio State. I'm not sure I'm feeling that vibe this year. So it'll be interesting.
Damn it.
There's a lot to fix.
Damn it, Jill. It's about this game, not Ohio State.
Now, don't let the fact that Ohio State just beat Miami of Ohio 70-3 get you down, okay?
Oh,
Hey,
okay, I won't.
Jill, there's something to think about. Last year and in preceding seasons, we lose this game. We find a way, even though
I agree, it is a step forward.
We find a way to lose.
But it is a step forward against Illinois, not Ohio State.
Well, I get that.
Okay, so one quick question before we end this. So Scott Frost had never won a game on the road. Yes or no? Is this the monkey off the back? And when we go play on the road, I think it's Minnesota's our next road game. Are we going to play better, or is it going to be about the same? Yes or no?
Well, that's not a yes or no question.
Greg?
That's not a yes or no question, Evan.
Minnesota's a terrible team. They're worse than Illinois, probably.
They are.
And so, no, I don't think we have a 4-turnover game and give them 2 10-yard scoring opportunities. As well as spot them 5 points or 7 points, 30 seconds into the game. I just don't see that happening. So,
and I think our young head coach is starting to grow. I mean, he's asked a lot of his team, and now he's having to rise to the same challenge he's given his team. And it'll be interesting to watch, because if you look at Frost, he looks like he's exhausted. I mean,
yeah.
And you can't blame him. And I think he even didn't understand the massive rebuild that's happening, and he's understanding it, and through his facial expressions, we should be understanding it. So, yeah, I'll stop there.
I don't know if Scott Frost and company ever looked at it, to use your words, Evan, as a monkey on the back as far as, winning on the road versus winning at home. This is just pure speculation, but I think they take it one game at a time, and to them, it doesn't matter if it's a home game or a road game, especially when you look at the the turnout that was at Colorado. Colorado was just a home game in a different state. I just don't know if their mentality is that of let's hope that we break that curse, so to speak. I just think they win a close one or lose a close one, I just think that they're just going to continue to do business as usual. I think that they're going to kick Minnesota's ass in mid-October. I don't think that's going to be a game. I think that's going to be up there as far as point spread, up there with Northern Illinois, if I'm being honest. I think that they're – because you can say what you want about Ohio State coming in. I think they're going to win at home against Northwestern. And the Minnesota game is going to be an ugly affair, but in a good way. It's going to be, lopsided. So it's nice to get that road win. I think it's more for, people like us to talk about, media and folks who call into the radio stations. I just don't think that they pay attention. I think they treat every game as, its own singular unit. So.
I do agree with that, because I think, Paul, like you said earlier, we are light years ahead of where we were at the same point last year. I mean, we've got 3 wins, and last year we were, 0-4? That counts for something. So we'll see where they grow from here.
Well, we didn't have 3 wins until mid-November last year. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, we're light years ahead of last year in terms of actually finishing some things out. But the fact that we're still very dissatisfied and the coaches appear to be very dissatisfied means that we're seeing the magnitude of this rebuild.
I think that'll be all for this week. Everybody, thanks for staying up late. It's now Sunday morning officially, and and my back's killing me. So, we'll see you all on the podcast airwaves. Of course, John's post-life crisis will drop Monday morning, and then on Wednesday we'll have Of Bangarangs and Daggers with Patrick Earhart and Nate McHugh talking all about Nebraska ball, and another Five Heart podcast will be with you Friday morning as well. So make sure that you hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Just search for Corn Nation, and we will be there. For myself, Greg Mahochko, for John Dam Johnston, who is here, for Keith Yapel, who stopped in for a cup of coffee, for Paul and Jill and Evan, this has been fun. Most important, Nebraska got the W, and the rest doesn't matter. They'll fix it. They'll work on it. They'll continue to grow. As Haas would say if he was here, incremental improvement. This isn't the Five Heart Podcast, so we can't send it out the way we usually do. But I guess we're going to do this. It's 12:07. My family's asleep upstairs, but go Big Red!